Blog Talk Radio.
Nope, I was too early. Sorry.
That's okay. You know what? As soon as I get a breather, I'm actually going to get that into our system, and I don't think I can autoplay it after the foghorn, but it'll get played one way or another. So, all right. Good evening,
everyone.
I like
the foghorn. I think we should keep the foghorn, too.
Oh, yeah, we'll keep the foghorn and play the upcoming attractions song. Okay, so welcome to the Sludge Pit. We have kind of a crazy show this evening because technical difficulties happened, and I'm at an unknown location. Actually, I know where I am, but you don't. And he knows where I am. But
I know where you are.
Ruh-roh. So tonight it's just me and Danae, and the title of the show is Let's Meet Doc. So that's me, and Danae wanted to ask me some questions, so I'll have you fire away.
Okay, folks, I'm going to interview Doc tonight, a.k.a. Eric. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. A little bit tired, but it's been a crazy week and a crazy day.
So, Doc has gotten himself quite a reputation as a monster kid. He's been able to go around to festivals and conventions, and he's even been involved in some production companies, if I'm not mistaken.
There was a production company, yes, but that actually turned into a massive, massive mess. There are a couple lawsuits involved. Thankfully, I was not involved with that, and I left before the literal poo hit the fan. So, yeah. But there is a production company I'm part of, and that's Sludge Industries, and I run that. And I work with Danae and Carl and everyone here at the Deviant Legion, and also I do YouTube production. And I'm going to look into some other avenues. I'm trying to get into photography. I'm into photography, but I need the camera because mine won't. But, you know, I just want to, like, do a whole variety of things with Sludge Industries and Deviant Legion. So, yeah,
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Don't you worry.
Folks, I'm not being rude. It's my ADD.
And I have ADHD, so if you add those two together, it's like, oh, my God.
Oh, I have that. I don't have ADD. I have ADHD. Maybe that's why I don't sleep. Anyway, were talking about production company you were getting involved in. Was that the Sludge Industries?
The lawsuit and messiness was not involved with Sludge Industries whatsoever. That actually took place back in 2007. I worked at a local radio station, not local to where I'm sitting currently. And one of my friends who worked there said, hey, there's this dude that's making a movie over at the abandoned train station in Buffalo, New York. I'm like, okay, cool. So I got in contact with this guy, and he's like, all right, you know, come on over. We'll do this production. And I got there. I was with a girl at the time, and we got there, and something just didn't feel right. We ended up leaving. And it just, one of these days, because of the lawsuits and literal factual injuries that happened, I can't go into it publicly beyond that. But it was a real mess that my little horror survival sense told me, you know, you need to get your girlfriend and get your butt out of here before all hell breaks loose. And that's exactly what happened. And the movie was never made, and the company was sued into oblivion.
Yeah,
and it was quite,
you dodged the bullet there.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that if you have This is actually a good business advice or like production advice for anyone. If you ever have a bad feeling about getting involved with a certain business or a certain production, don't. Just stay away from it. It's better for you in the long run. Even though you may feel it was a missed opportunity, trust me, it's a better thing. And if you start, and if you want to create your own production, you know, start on YouTube. And you don't need a $10,000 camera, 8K camera. You can start out with a cell phone. Some of the best vloggers I've seen use a Samsung S7 and record themselves talking about stuff. You know, or you know, you could use a laptop to do some editing, Windows Movie Maker, which is no longer available, but you can find it one way or another, or like DaVinci on a higher, more powerful base computer. You can do all this stuff yourself with practice. Okay. Sorry. Went off a little tangent there.
Oh, no. No, no. That's fine. We are informal here. And I just picked up a bit of knowledge. I've got a YouTube channel, but it's only so I could subscribe to other YouTube channels. I had some videos up there, and I deleted them because they were poor quality, and I've been wanting to get back into it, so that's the word of advice. I don't have a computer right now, and my phone doesn't have a SIM card that you can record. I mean, not a SIM card. Anyway, I can record videos on the phone, but I can't upload them. But I could do on my Kindle Fire and do a big close-up of my giant face, but that's okay. It's a start.
Yeah, and do not be ashamed of anything you create, because you know what? You had enough guts and creativity to make something. I mean, some of my old videos on my YouTube channel are currently under lock and key. That's because I'm moving into a new phase of my life, and you know, those videos have some inappropriate language, a couple of stupid stunts that I did, and you know, they're not exactly good. But the reason, like I said, the reason why they're locked up for right now is I'm going into another phase, and really, 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 really big important move. I'm working for a new corporation, so those are locked up. So if anybody actually asks me for links to those, I will send you a private link. But they're not very good, and I pull some really dumb things. So I'm getting that out of here. But yeah, I am actually proud of those videos. Yeah, I am very proud of those videos, though, because those were the first days of the YouTube channel when I was very, very ill. And not physically and a little bit mentally. And, you know, I started my YouTube channel actually because I thought I was going to die. And I wanted to be remembered for something. And as everybody can tell, my health got a lot better. So that's why I started all this stuff, because I wanted to be remembered for something. And now that I'm healthy, it's fun. It's fun. I get to talk to Danae all the time, and we get to do all sorts of cool things. You know, it's just worth it. Oh, if anybody ever tells you that you suck, you don't suck. Trust me. You're awesome in your own ways.
Oh, yeah. I had some interesting comments on those videos that I deleted. Things like, how cringy. Get up off your fat ass and exercise.
You know, I've never had comments like that on my videos, but I had one comment that I had was actually about the kaiju box incident, which I'll go into that because that's really fun. The kaiju box incident was this guy who was on Indiegogo wanted to create this kaiju box, almost like a loot crate. And the first box came out, and there was some missing items. Things weren't as described. Like, we were supposed to get a NECA Godzilla 2002, which was Giant Monsters All Out Attack. Well, at this time, I actually got into it with a guy because I could have gotten those figures on at wholesale through NECA for like $11 a piece. Now this guy goes out and he instead of getting the Godzilla figure, the Giant Monster Violent Attack figure, he gives us these things called body knockers, which honestly are, at the time, they were $3 more expensive in the stores than the actual the Giant Monster Violent Attack Godzilla figure. But they were so cheaply made that you can get the through NECA for actually less than what you're going to pay wholesale for the Godzilla figure itself. And then there was a second box, which everything in there was what it was supposed to be, but close to 80% of the people never got their boxes. The guy walked away with their money. Real scumbag.
Well, that's crappy.
And I did a bunch of, I actually did two reviews of the boxes, and then I did a video on my YouTube channel, which is Sludge Industries, linked with Nudge Nudge, called Doc versus Kaiju Box, and he made some nasty comments that I have no idea what it's like to run a website or what it's like to do wholesale or what it's like to do this. And I'm like, hey, guy, I did wholesale. I had my own website. I had to do sales. It sucked. I lost $1,000, okay? So, you know, what my major point was with that video was that you're screwing people over that deserve to get what they paid for, and they're not getting it. And I was pissed off about that. And I actually made several friends off of that video, believe it or not, who I've met at conventions afterwards. So, yeah, I have to say that I did rip into this individual, not like you're a schmuck, but just what you're doing was wrong. You screwed over so many people. You should be ashamed of yourselves. You should either refund them or send something to them as compensation, which never happened. So I used to really, with my channel, I used to go on the attack every once in a while when it came to consumers like myself being screwed over. And I think the most recent video I did like that was actually about another loot box type thing. It was Box of Dread, because they did the same thing to customers. And, you know, some people paid for a year and only got one box and all sorts of stuff like that. And Box of Dread, their box end is defunct, but their Dread Central website is still up and running, and they refuse to talk about it, and they refuse to give anybody any money back unless you threaten to sue them or get your credit card company involved, which I had to get my credit card company involved to get my money back. And I used to love Box of Dread because they had this most awesome stuff, you know, comic books, of course, DVDs and Blu-rays, shot glass. I mean, all sorts of awesome horror-related stuff that wasn't mainstream. I mean, okay, yeah, you got a Losers Club glass from the first It movie, but there was other stuff in there like Vampirella comics, Reanimator comics, you know, just, and they're signed too from the artist. It's like, this was really cool stuff. And then all of a sudden, what the hell? And, you know, I kind of got snarly with them and, you know, I expressed myself, and nothing else came of it. And there's, talking about expressing myself, the last rant, I've actually done like three rant videos, and the third one is, I want to say, about a year and a half old now, and it's got over 1,500 views, mostly because the Twilight Zone came back on TV, and because it's, you know, I tagline the Twilight Zone, because it's a rant over a destroyed Twilight Zone box set that I got from Amazon three separate times, actually three repeated returns on this destroyed set, because I kept on getting another set and another set that was in worse condition, and I sent Amazon the video, so they sent me another one, which was actually more mangled than the rest, and told me that they're refunding my money, so I got this free box set, which is nice, but still.
Did they give you your money back?
Yes, they gave me my money back, and I am trying to figure out how to repair the box without making it too obvious and not getting super glue all over the place, because I'm a klutz.
How are the DVDs? Are they all right?
Yeah, the DVDs were fine, but the fourth dimension box set, it comes in a cube, which has like it's like this plastic layer that if you shift it, it moves or it changes like the image. And that was completely just mangled and destroyed. And I got the box set for that. It has the original Twilight Zone in it and the 1980s Twilight Zone on DVD.
Oh, the lenticular box.
Yes, the lenticular. That's the one I was looking
for. Yeah. That's sad. Those lenticulars are so cool.
Oh, I know. I mean, and, you know, I actually got it on sale. It was originally $150. I got it on sale for $79. But every single time I got it three times through Amazon, it was destroyed. And they just sent me another one. I'm like, look, just keep it. Here's your money. Please don't yell at us anymore. Okay. I won't yell at you anymore. I really wasn't yelling. I did swear.
Well, at least they did the right thing as opposed to that guy that ripped you off with the loot crate, with the loot box. Sorry.
Yeah.
No, he's not affiliated at all with Loot Crate. I apologize if it appeared that I was making that assumption.
Right. And believe it or not, Loot Crate just shut down. Now, Loot Crate, as far as I know, they've had a very good reputation, very good, you know, communications with their customers. And I don't know if this is true or not, but this is Facebook news, so I take it with a grain of salt, that the company that owns Elvis's Holdings just bought Loot Crate. So that was on Facebook. I do not know if it's true. Grain of salt, that one. So, yeah. Yeah,
now you're making me want to sign up for Horror Pack again.
I really want to sign up for Horror Pack too, but right now, because I'm literally staying in Airbnb in central New York. It's absolutely gorgeous in here. I don't technically have an address yet. I don't have an apartment, and I don't know how, and everything's kind of up in the air right now because, yes, I'm going to be making more per hour, but then I have to figure out how much is being taken out for my 401k, how much is taken out for health insurance, and so on and so on and so on. So I'm kind of going, yeah, I'm not going to buy anything for quite a while, but I would like to get back to Horror Pass because that was a great, I mean, Diego and the crew over there, they're really awesome.
I only quit because I couldn't afford it. And man, I went nuts because I found out that you get a choice of the DVD pack or the Blu-ray pack, and I found out that they didn't have the same movies in them. So I signed up for both.
I would do
the DVD pack is $19.99, and the Blu-ray pack is $29.99. So I was spending over $50 a month.
And the movies that they gave you were not like, you know, stuff you'd find in the dollar store. I mean, these were really pretty decent DVDs. I got Stephen King's Sleepwalkers, Outpost, something with Nazi zombies, which, you know, I think Nazi zombies.
Yeah, I got that one too.
Yep. Also, I think I got Species.
Would you
and
rather?
A couple other ones. What's that?
I got Would You Rather and Scare House, which I have not watched yet.
Oh, I still want to get Killer Pinata. That looks like a funny one. See, I love goofy horror flicks. You know, the whole dealing with psychos. Psychana is psychological horror for me. It's just kind of like, you know, you can really deal with this in real life with a lot of stuff that goes on outside. And I like being outside anyway, but what I'm trying to get at is I go to movies to be entertained. I watch silly movies to be entertained. I don't want to have a massive emotional attachment to, like, you know, movies that make me cry, that type of thing. That's why I don't watch them. And you know, just like if I wanted to get like psychologically terrorized for a movie, I'd just go outside and walk down the street because it's getting that bad nowadays. Yeah. So
I like extreme stuff. I like the psychological stuff, but I also like the silly ones. And in fact, I mean, I just watch them for the sake of watching them. But sometimes, after watching a heavy movie, whether it be horror or whatever, if I'm watching one that's really depressing or sad or whatever, or just left me feeling icky, then I will put on a silly one to cleanse my palate.
Yeah, I used to go hug my cat Boogie, which I.
Well, I had Tootsie too.
I have a little something to admit to our listeners. Spooky and Tinkerbell are not currently with me. They are at my parents' house. My parents love them. They love my parents. It's going to be a little while before I can bring my little fuzzy buddies out here. Like I mentioned before, I have to get stabilized. I have to get an apartment that allows pets. And it's going to be a little while. And I'm kind of upset about that. But, you know, these are things you have to do when you're trying to make your life better. And I promised Spooky and Tinkerbell, I sat them down and had a chat with them. Yes, I do talk to my cats. And told them, I promise I'll be back to visit, you know, every other week. And I'll be able to move you guys out here pretty soon. And I do love them very, very much.
Speaking of, Tootsie has just joined me.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
Go ahead.
A little funny tidbit, once again, back to the YouTube thing. One of my most watched videos also involves Spooky. I was doing a unboxing. I think it was a box of Dread before everything went south. That Spooky actually started. This was in my old control room. That's what I call it. He was up on the dresser behind me. He hops down, hops on my shoulder, you know, gives me some love. Then he looks at my computer screen, hops onto my desk, looks from the screen to the camera, back to me, and back to the screen. He's like, "What's going on here?" It was so cute. And everybody who
I gotta see
them,
that one.
I'll send you the link soon. I mean, it's really, really cute.
Okay.
It was like he was having an oh my gosh moment.
So speaking of silly movies, when was your first horror film, your first kaiju film, martial arts exploitation? When did you start getting into all of that?
That's a very good question. When I was younger, back in the 80s and 90s, you know, they'd show, like, Critters on TV, Friday the 13th, all very edited. And I still get, and as our listeners know, I used to get freaked out really, really easy when I was younger. So I would watch little tidbits here and there, and I get very interested. And back in those days, my family and I did a lot of traveling down to Florida to visit my Norwegian grandmother. Her name is Yardis, by the way. If you can't get any more Norwegian than that name.
No.
Besides Sven and Ollie. And, of course, Eric, because I'm half Norwegian. Now, while we're down in Florida, we would always go to Universal Studios. No, actually, cancel that. It would be MGM Studios, regular Disney, and then Universal when that first came through. And my mom and my father wouldn't go on any of the rides because he had a serious heart condition. But we would always go to the gift stores, and I would just buy up all these classic monster movie books, like, you know, called Classic Monsters or the Giant Book of Huge Monsters and Big Things. I can't remember exact titles, so I'm kind of throwing those out there. But there was this one publishing house that put all the books out like that. They were soft cover, and they were very large. Beautiful artwork, beautiful pictures. And that started getting me into, you know, wanting to see the classic monsters and the cheesy monsters. There's classic and there's cheesy, but there's also cheesy classic. from the 50s and 60s. Now, I still wasn't brave enough to sit down and watch these movies by myself yet. Because, like I said, I had a major fear thing going on. Like, hell, Rainbow Bright and Care Bears scared the crap out of me. I mean, I saw a Return to Oz movie theater. Holy brain spasms. Oh, man. But anyway, so, you know, collecting all these books and trying to find some of these movies on VHS was pretty much impossible until right around 1992 to 1993, because there was this massive surge in the VHS home video market that all the classics and everything, like Creature from the Black Lagoon, Evil Dead, became highly available. Most of the places you could rent, you could see these movies were at, you know, video rental places. Now, I did rent, like 1991, I did rent Bride of Frankenstein. So that was a pure classic to me. And before that, back in 85, when we first moved to Perry, there was a video rental place. This is leading into the Kaiju, actually. There was a video rental place within 2-3 minute walk from my mom's house that is now currently taken over by a company that puts together cupboards and stuff. But anyway, and 1985 was the year that Godzilla 1985 was released in the United States, and I wanted to go see it, you know, wanted to go to the movie theater. My mom's like, no, you'll get all upset and all scared. Fine. So she ended up renting it for me one day, and I watched Godzilla 1985, and I was head over heels for Godzilla films ever since. And I was able to get, like, Prophecies of Nostradamus, which is no longer available. Of course, Rodan, the Monster Zero, and Son of Godzilla. And just, I rented those all the time. I think I pretty much wore out the video store's copies of these VHS tapes. So my family, you know, throughout the years would give me the VHS tapes of Godzilla films, and that was like, oh, yay. So that's where the love of kaiju films came in, is because I want to see Godzilla 85, and my mom's like, there you go. she's actually a catalyst to this whole monster thing that I'm in. I've been in for like the last 26 years or so, which is a good thing. Now, getting into the horror flicks, there's a very emotional, sad point in this whole saga of neo monster movies. When I was 13 years old, and my father had a massive stroke, and he was just suffering so much with his stroke. Because little thing about my father, he had a PhD in psychology, so everybody called him Dr. Omni. Well, that's sort of why my name's Doc now when I do stuff like this. Just kind of a little bit of a tribute. Yeah, that really, really, really hit me hard. And I was on a lot of serious medications, prescribed medications. That kind of turned me into a vegetable. It was not a fun time. I don't remember a lot from that area of time in my life. Actually, I don't remember a lot of things. But I was on some really, really heavy, heavy, heavy medicines. And I just kind of vegged out and zombified. Now, my mom, she's like, what the heck? I got to try something to get this kid out of the funk that he's in. So she brought home a VHS copy of Gorgo, VHS of Night of the Living Dead, and a copy of Terror Boris Karloff. And I remember her giving these to me in a big brown paper bag. She said, I hope you'll enjoy these. Oh boy, did I. I was completely blown away by Night of the Living Dead. My eyes just opened up like the size of saucers, and I just went, whoa, all through the movie. I couldn't believe how good Night of the Living Dead was. The Terror of Boris Karloff, it was fun. It was silly. It's Boris Karloff. You know, this was awesome. And of course, Gorgo was a a very, very wonderful kaiju film from London in England, co-produced with Ireland, and it just kind of woke me up and went, wow, this is something new. And then after that, every year for my birthday and for Christmas, for as long as I can remember in the 90s, up until, I think, 2000, when a lot of the video stores shut down, like we would go to Suncoast in Buffalo, New York, at the, can't remember the mall, but it doesn't matter, and just buy up VHS tape after tape after tape after tape. We're talking all of the Evil Dead's, you know, Creature from Black Lagoon, Return of the Creature, Revenge of the Creature, Creature Walks Among Us, all the Anchor Bay films, you know, the Hammer Collection that they put out, Tenderness of the Wolves, which was really out of my league at the time, and I remember that specifically.
Oh, how
old?
I'm sorry.
How old
were you when you watched that?
13.
Man, I just watched it recently. I cannot believe you saw that when you were 13.
It was either 13 or 14, yeah. So I became a fan. I remember parts of it, and I remember going, not for me. So, yeah.
For those that aren't familiar with the movie, it is, I'm sorry, I'm doing it again.
No, go for it.
I'll stop talking over you, I promise. I'll try.
Honey, don't worry about it. Go for it.
Tenderness of the Wolves is a German film that came out in the 70s, and it is a fictionalized account of a serial killer. I'm not sure. I want to say it was in the 40s. That 30s or 40s that terrorized Germany, mainly young boys. He was a butcher, and he would rape and murder these young boys and then sell their flesh in his butcher shop. And
yes.
I'm telling you, this movie pulls no punches.
And you see a lot. It's based off of Fritz Lang's M, and I think there was another with Peter Lorre, another version of M also. That's what it's based off of, and it is brutal.
M was about Peter Curtin, another one. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a little hiccup there, but we're all set.
Not meaning to sound like a know-it-all. If I'm wrong, I will admit it, but I think that M was inspired by a similar killer in Germany, Peter Curtin.
Hmm. All these killers, stop being bad people, you jerks.
M was a good movie, by the way.
Yes, it was. And I just kind of evolved from there when it comes to cheeseball horror films. My mother refused to buy me the Texas Chainsaw Massacre because, once again, she was afraid of it freaking me out, but I actually rented them anyway from the video store down the lane. And thoroughly enjoyed the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 1, 2, and 3. I have not seen 4 yet, and I will do that sometime eventually because it's in my collection. I just have not watched it.
Please don't. Next Generation, please don't.
Yeah. Well, I got it for completion's sake.
Although, Matthew McConaughey with his robot legs is kind of funny. It runs on remote, and there's this part where Renee Zellweger gets the remote away from him, and she keeps pushing the buttons. Yeah. It's hysterical.
Sounds like it. Sounds like it. So,
but
okay,
no,
so
it's not a very good movie.
Okay, so what's happening to Kung Fu Flicks? Ah, wonderful question. Back in the 80s and 90s, when TV was actually awesome, our local stations would play a Kung Fu Flick, like one or two Kung Fu Flicks, every Saturday afternoon. So, you know, you get like, you know, the Ghost of Bruce Lee, that's L-I, not L-E, you know, stuff just, and also really, really strange period Kung Fu Flicks that, you know, you've got these guys with white hair and man buns and doing all sort of flying through the air and using weapons that would never stand up. Silly stuff like that. That's pretty cool. Now, I remember buying my first Kung Fu movie set. That was, I want to say 2001, when I started working at the radio, at a local radio station, doing NASCAR, which I was so not interested in. I would bring this little portable DVD player with me, and I got this like 10-pack of Kung Fu Flicks from Mill Creek or, you know, something like that, Mill Creek or whatever, one of those mass, here you go. And there was like Ninja Death 1-4 and all the and Crippled Masters and all sorts of crazy stuff. So I watched all those, and I'm like, I enjoy these. So then I went and got a 50-pack. Yes, a 50-pack of Kung Fu Flicks, and just devoured all those while I'm working at the radio station. And yeah, I found out in Kung Fu movies. So I really do enjoy the off-the-wall baddie Kung Fu Flicks, especially ones from Hong Kong. And actually, Hong Kong action flicks are pretty awesome, too. Like Chow Yun-Fat and The Killers, Hard Boiled. I Love Maria, which is a really weird one. Wicked City, live-action film. Oh, yeah. I've seen a ton. Now, exploitation movies. I actually found my first exploitation flick when I was 22 years old. I know the exact date. Not the exact date, but the exact time frame. I was in college again, trying to get a degree in natural resource conservation law enforcement, which I still can finish off and get. That's for a future date. I've got like 3 classes to do, and I've got the degree, but I moved on and moved on to computer and all sorts of interests and stuff. But anyway, I was dating a girl at the time who was really, really, we were not a good match, and it was a miserable time in my life. So I would go over to Borders, yes, when Borders was a thing, and this was the Borders over near Victor, New York. So I would coddle myself over there and go through their selection. And also there's a Borders in Utica, too. So whenever I come up and visit people in Utica, I would stop over at the Borders. And they had this box set. It was Freaks and something else. I don't remember what the rest of the box set title was. But it had She-Freak, Circus of Horrors, and a couple other films in there. And it was put out by Something Weird. And that was my first exposure to Something Weird. Oh, yeah, and also I got the Nudie Cuties box set, which... I got like 8 box sets within 2 months that were Something Weird. That it was the Herschel Gordon Lewis box set, the Freaks one, Nudie Cuties, I think. And then the Starman box set, and then the fairy tale love one thing, something that had like, you know, something with I'm brain farting here. There was one that had Tarzan, Jane, and Boy, and a couple other ones. It was like the weird love box set, and then there was a whole bunch of stuff, and that's what really got me into exploitation and like sexploitation too. I really enjoyed really crappy, sleazy flicks. It's just, I love them. 1 Million Years ACDC is a really, really bad one, but it's funny as hell because of its badness.
What was, I didn't catch that. What was it?
A 1 Million Years ACDC or, one, yeah.
One million years BC?
No, it was 1 Million Years ACDC or something like that.
I've never heard of that one.
Yeah, it has a horny gorilla in it, and it's got to be like one of the worst gorilla suits I've ever seen. And there's a T-Rex. He goes up against a T-Rex that's like literally a hand puppet. I actually said 1 million years BC. That was incorrect. It's 1 million years ACDC. And, oh, yeah. It's just so sleazy. And I think the Ed Wood worked on that one a little bit, too. It's just, it's
that
so funny. It's like,
me.
Yeah, it's like 70s nudity, which can be very scary in some areas. We won't get into any disgusting jokes. But, yeah. And it's just, it's amazing what filmmakers could get away with back in the 60s and 70s. Oh, brother. You try doing that stuff nowadays, you'd be smacked down by the MPAA. So, yeah,
yeah,
I do like,
that,
I do like,
and the PC police.
Yeah, I'm professionally, I am very agreeable. But my film taste is just off the wall. So I blame something weird. And believe it or not, through the years of me collecting the Something Weird DVD catalog, I don't have very many, actually I don't have any other DVDRs, but I have every single DVD that Image has put out. I've got that Wizard of Oz one that got pulled. I've got Doctor of Doom, Wrestling Women. You know, basically, every single Image licensed Something Weird DVD, I have a copy of. And I'm actually very proud of that fact.
Cool.
Please Don't Eat My Mother. Yep. Including Please Don't Eat My Mother.
I promise I won't.
Oh, good. I like her a lot, so please don't.
I couldn't resist. I'm sorry. Wasn't that like a real low-budget, sleazy remake, rip-off of Little Shop of Horrors?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Was it lots of nudity? Mm-hmm. And then there's like Wham, Bam, Thank You, Spaceman.
I've heard of that one.
Try saying that when you're drunk.
Wham, bam, thank you, spaceman. Wham, bam, thank you, spaceman. Wham, bam, thank you, spaceman. Wham, bam, I lost it. I'm going to quit while I'm behind.
Oh, yeah. I've had many adventures in the realm of film. Many interesting. And yes, my mom did get me into the monster flicks. And I'll tell you what, when you mentioned something about the conventions. Ah, yes, conventions. I love going to conventions. And I'll tell you, I've been to a whole bunch, and there are a lot of good things to say about conventions. Every once in a while, there's a little grumper thing, but you know. What you deal with. Now, I've been going to conventions since 2006, 2007-ish. I was actually living at my uncle's place and working for Xerox at the time, doing in the R&D department. I am pretty smart, and I do a lot of technical things. So, anyway, I was working on some experimental products, very, very large, interesting machines that are worth like over $10 million, but I can't go into that because of non-disclosure agreements, so I'll just leave it there. Now, I was living at my uncle's aunt and uncle's place, and I bought this magazine called Scary Monsters. And I fell in love with this magazine. Scream Monsters is all about the classic, you know, monster kid movies. It, Terror from Beyond Space, The Frame, you know, all the classic good stuff and silly stuff, too. And I saw this ad for a online company called Creepy Classics. And then right below that ad, I saw an ad for Monster Bash. What's Monster Bash? So I investigated it and went over to Creepy Classics, because Creepy Classics is owned by a friend of mine named Ron Adams. He became my friend after I met him at, you know, many, many times. And Monster Bash was put on by Creepy Classics. Creepy Classics is this amazing store, amazing online place where you can find close to every monster, every movie you can think of. Even monster, even movies you can't think of, you can find at Creepy Classics. If Ron doesn't have it, he knows ways how to get it. And I'll tell you what, Ron is an awesome guy, puts on an awesome show, and even has movies like Shh, the Octopus. Yes, there is a movie called Shh, the Octopus. It's a haunted house film noir crime horror movie with an octopus.
I'm intrigued.
Made by Warner Brothers, and it's actually pretty darn good. Yes, I have a copy. So, I was hemming and hawing about going to Monster Bash, and I talked to my mom, talked to my aunt, and both my mom and my aunt said, you know what, you have enough money saved up from working in Xerox that your ass should better be in your car going to that convention, like, now. Okay. So, I went to the 2007 Monster Bash. My memory is quite fuzzy. I may be confusing a few years into one. The 2006 I went. In 2007, I brought my friend and my girlfriend at the time, who also happened to be the same girlfriend who was involved in that whole incident over in Buffalo. And we were there, and Elvira was there, 2007. So this was awesome. And also, Ben Chapman. Of course I did. There is a picture of me in Elvira that is hidden someplace on Facebook. If you look hard enough or ask me to find it, I'll get it for you.
Cool.
Now, yes. Now, Ben Chapman, who played the creature from the Black Lagoon on land, there's actually two people who played the creature in the first Creature from the Black Lagoon. Riku Browning, who was an Olympic gold medal swimmer, played the creature underwater. And Ben, who is like 6'10", like this dude's huge, played the creature on land. What was that?
That's Tootsie.
Oh, hi, Tootsie.
I'm inserting herself into the conversation.
Well, the cool thing is about this Monster Bash was that, well, I had a girlfriend at the time, which is pretty cool. But there was a game show that they were doing that you'd answer horror trivia. And this, most of it was Creature from the Black Lagoon based. Now, if you actually sat me down and talked about the Creature from the Black Lagoon, I could tell you pretty much anything you wanted to know, except for which scene somebody had a boogie in their nose. Yeah, I'm not that detailed, but, you know, cool little trivia facts, different little associated films, that type of thing. So they're having this game show, and I'm like, cool. I think I will definitely try this out, because the grand prize of the game show was at it was the Universal Monsters Creature from a Black Lagoon Legacy Collection, the one that came in the green sleeve with the double-sided discs, and a copy of The Swamp of the Lost Monster, which is Mexico's version. Mexico did a lot of based-upon films of Creature from a Black Lagoon, and there was also a book called Creature from the Black Lagoon, which was kind of like the creature's backstory. It involved time travel, extraterrestrial beings, all sorts of crazy, crazy stuff. And the biggest part of this win competition was that you were going to have breakfast with Ben Chapman. And I'm like,
oh my God,
I got to do this. Well, the night before, actually that night, I was holding off getting an autograph from Ben because I wanted to actually try and win this competition. So I did get his autograph, and my girlfriend at the time did, and Ben signed like 7 different things for her and a couple extra copies. And he only charged $10. There's a lot of people who charge like an insane amount of money just for their name. Like if I get asked to be a guest at a convention, you want my autograph? Guess what? It's free. I don't care. I will not charge a dime for me to write my name on something.
Anyway. That's how I feel.
It's like, I'm here because of you. So if you want something from me like that, there you go. No problem.
Well, they're already getting paid to be there. I don't see why they have to charge.
Exactly. But, you know, that's what some people do. I'm not knocking it because some people need the money. So I actually did not get his autograph. So that night, the competition revolves around. I won the game show.
Oh, wow.
I won the game show. The final question, I remember this, is how was the Gill Man in the Monster Squad killed? The guy before me says, he drowned. And I'm like, I just watched this last week. Yeah. The Gill Man in the film was killed by a 12-gauge shotgun blast to the chest. Really? That's rather specific. I'm like, yeah. And they looked up. That's exactly how it did. You win. I'm like, yeah.
Wow.
Unfortunately, Ben became extremely ill that night. So the breakfast didn't happen, but I got all those awesome prizes, and I gave the Legacy Collection because I already had it to my girlfriend. And I kept the other items, the VHS tape and the book and a T-shirt. Unfortunately, like I said, Ben got very ill. He ended up flying back to Hawaii the next day. Fortunately, my girlfriend, being awesome, gave me one of his autographs. And she has my eternal gratitude for that. And, you know, she had all a bunch of other stuff signed by him, and I just, it's like, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So that was pretty awesome. Yep, I really,
awesome.
When it comes to Monster Bash, they are the most family-friendly, family-based, you know, monster kid, enthusiastic, awesome convention I've ever been to. They, like I said, everything they do is family-friendly. You could bring your kids there. I don't know if some kids will be able to handle monsters, some may not. Their guests are fantastic. And everybody there is just, they've got a positive juju going, and they're all here for fun. And that's what I want in a convention. Now, I've been to Monster Mania in Cherry Hills, New Jersey. This one has got a couple complaints and a story. A couple of complaints is mainly, number one, driving to get to Cherry Hills, New Jersey from Utica was a major pain in the ass. 100 miles per hour to 0 miles per hour in the blink of an eye. Also, dealing with drunk idiots in the parking lot. We won't go any further than that with the complaints. And also, everything's very expensive, but that's just the way New Jersey is. It was $45 for a steak dinner. My room night was $250 for that night.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but Monster Mania was the biggest monster convention I've ever been to, and it was more themed towards the newer stuff. At the time, everybody, this drove me effing bonkers. Had everything, there was 99% of the tables you went to had something Walking Dead. Like, all right, I've had it with this. I've been burned out with Walking Dead since the first season. I didn't get any further because
I lasted until the third.
Yeah. But back to Monster Mania. Now, this Monster Mania was special. It was the only Monster Mania I have ever been to. It's probably going to be the last one I've ever been to. just because of how chaotic it was, the crisis and stuff. But I still had a good time. Now, there's a major ninja story with this one. This is, I don't know, I think the horror gods were smiling upon me that day. This Monster Mania was special because it was the last Monster Mania that George Romero was going to be at. And also, there were a whole bunch of other people there. I think Danny Glover was there. But anyway, I was there for George Romero. So was the entire population of Pittsburgh, the entire population of Philadelphia, and the entire population of the East effing coast. So I'm there going, this is crazy. Because the line to see George Romero get his autograph went outside of the hotel and around the block,
wow,
the city block, 3.5 times. Now, let me tell you something about George Romero. George Romero is an awesome, he was an awesome, awesome person, because he let everybody know that he was not going to shut down that line until everybody got through, which I was very impressed by. Now, here's where the ninja story comes in. I mean, I'm a large man. I'm 6'2", currently 360 pounds. I am beefy. I cannot hide very well. I'm very noticeable, especially when I'm wearing an Angry Birds shirt. Anyway. So, you know, my night at Monster Mania is coming to an end, and that line is still wrapped around the outside of the hotel. And nobody is paying much attention, and I'm kind of walking through, and I'm texting my mom. I'm like, this sucks. I'll never be able to see Romero. I'm going to like, save her money. And I'm like, she's just like, just try it. I'm like, all right. So, well, there's a lot of cosplayers at this convention. And there were a couple of gothy Lolita type girls. And the security guards that were at the door to go to a room for George Romero were busy googling and talking to these girls. Nobody was paying much attention, so I took my large self and walked right past the guards into the room. Walked right up to the table, grabbed the script, walked over to pay for it. The script was $45. And the lady looks at me, she's like, don't worry about it, hon. On me. Okay.
Oh, wow.
And this is a script for Dawn of the Dead. I brought the script over to George. Had a lady take my picture of me and him, and he signed it. And I left with a smile on my face, and nobody said a word.
Awesome.
Yes, and I actually had that script in a storage unit around here someplace. So, yeah, that was quite the ninja move. And nobody said anything. I just walked right in. Thank you. Very nice meeting you. Love your movies. And whoosh, before anybody freaked out. And nobody said a word. And I giggled all the way home the next day. Oh, and by the
way, that really made your night.
Oh, it did. It did. I broke a lot of rules then. I really do apologize to anybody who's listening who may have seen me do it. But there's also something, another cool thing that came out of Monster Mania. If you go over to my Facebook page for Sludge Industries, you're going to see a picture of me in a black hoodie with a gas mask, a custom-made gas mask with spikes and all sorts of cool stuff on it. That's where I got that mask, with Monster Mania. So that's kind of finished off the creation of Doc Sludge. we'll
so how did
back
you
about
come
it.
Up with? Oh, I'm sorry, I did it again, and I said I wouldn't.
You read my mind. I was going to go right to where Doc came from. You read my mind. Now, Doc Sludge. Doc, well, how can I say this? I've always had a creative streak in me that has wanted to basically come out and party and have a good time and do it and just be creative and do all sorts of cool stuff. Now, back when I was younger, there were some personality issues, personality problems, not being able to find myself. You know, I had a lot of difficulties in school, and unfortunately, I could not be myself without being ridiculed. I was, you know, when you're dealing with your parents, you have a certain personality set. When you deal with your friends, and, you know, that's the real you. When you're at high school dealing with stuff, try not to swear here, it's a different personality altogether. So you, in order to be a fully functional person, you have to accept all parts of your personality, combine them into one. I was having some issues doing that. Now, the doc actually started out back in 2007 I decided that I wanted to do something cool on the internet. So I changed my actual profile to this thing I called Igor Dust Bunny. And I would talk about horror movies and monster movies all the time. Now, I used a picture of King Caesar from Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla. And I was having a good time with it. Until Facebook kind of slapped me and said, "Hey, you know that Igor Dust Bunny thing? Yeah. That's copyrighted by somebody." Oh, poop. So I changed it back to Eric. Then I decided to create, because the company I worked for was a really, don't want to be too negative here. I wasn't happy where I was. So instead of continuing on a lot with the monster movies and stuff on my own profile, because I was getting questioned about it an awful lot at this job that I didn't like very much, I decided to create Doc Sludge's Toxic Cinema. Now, I was on and off with that a lot because I was, you know, things, I had really crazy episodes throughout my life of just crazy, crazy things happening. I decided to call myself Doc because my father was always called Doctor. This said Doc has nothing to do with, you know, Doctor Who, which a lot of people think it's like he's calling himself a Doc. No, it's just like Doc, you know, Doc from Snow White and Seven Dwarves, that type of Doc. My father, yes, where he had a PhD in psychology. He was a doctor. Oh, yes, everybody called him, in his profession, called him Doctor. So this is kind of like a nod to my father, and it just kind of looked kind of cool too, you know, Doc Sludge. So I started out with Doc Sludge's Toxic Cinema. I would do reviews, and I actually really hurt somebody's feelings with a review that I did of an album. It was of a black metal guy. His name was Satanic War Master. I just annihilated his album, and it hurt his feelings. It really, really hurt his feelings. And I apologized, and I actually stopped doing reviews for a while because I was one of those review jerks that would just say, "You suck, you suck, you suck, you have no talent." Yeah, I did that once and only once, and I'll never do it again. Because being a creator now, I realize that really hurts. And plus, what he said to me, and I still feel bad about it. And this happened like 5-6 years ago. So, and I know everybody's like, "Oh, that name, oh no." Don't worry about it.
Oh, I was thinking something terrible. This sounds so mean. I don't even know if I want to say it. Black metal musicians have feelings? I know, that's horrible. That's mean and horrible. That's what popped in my head. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Some have made many mistakes, but we won't go into that. So I stopped reviewing stuff for a while, and then I would just like goof around with Doc Sarge's Toxic Cinema and just, you know, do things here and there. I was never really, because I don't really have any good excuses on this one. I really just didn't do much with it. Then 2015 rolls around. It was a few years ago. I started podcasting with Steve Montiel and having a wonderful time. And I decided to change things over into Sludge Industries because I was doing the YouTube thing irregularly because of time restraints, emotional stuff that was going on. My health was absolutely terrible. Actually, I think I started podcasting around the end of 2015 because that's when my heart was failing. I was incredibly ill, and I was pretty much going to die. So I wanted, like I said, do things to be remembered by, and I talked to Steve about doing some podcasting, and, you know, we did some pretty awesome shows. I really enjoyed my time with Steve. Very, very positive influence. And so I decided to change Doc Sludge's Toxic Cinema to Sludge Industries so I can incorporate the YouTube channel, which still hasn't done anything much with monster movies. It's been everything else but, and I do apologize to people for that, but I'm working on it. There's more. I have some plans. Just got to get things settled down first. And, you know, the podcast. And the reason why Doc exists is to kind of give me a little bit of a leeway cover. Because in one of my past jobs that I've actually had for quite a while, I worked in the education system. So, you know, it's like, you know, I could read, let's say I'm talking about the Boris Karloff version of Frankenstein. Okay? And I'm using my real name and everything like that. And let's say somebody doesn't like the idea, that I'm talking about original Frankenstein, and goes, okay, well, I'm going to report this, and I'm out of a job. You know, that's the way things can happen. So with the Sludge Industries and Doc Sludge, it kind of gives me, it removes me from this whole thing because Doc is a character. Doc is, you know, he's me, but with a little bit more freedom. And I know it sounds like I'm talking about multiple personalities. This is not a multiple personality thing. This is a creative outlet where, you know, in normal everyday life, you know, so there's a lot of people out there who will look at the Monster Kid thing, you know, the exploitation movies and say, oh, you're really, really freaking weird. Well, I'm a little weird, but it's a cute weird. Makes people laugh. Makes
own
people
it,
smile.
I say.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to, you know, with everything that's going on now with the move and all that, there is another step of freedom with my creativity that's going to go through with Sludge Industries, and that we have all sorts of pretty interesting things. You know, I would like to do some exploitation films, live watches with Danae. You know, just, we're going to do some really cool stuff that I feel I'm more comfortable doing because the risk is lower. So, yeah, and
well, you are a fascinating individual.
Thank you. There's one thing I do want to add, though. When it comes to creativity, this is from my personal experience, do not hamper your creativity by hiding it. By what I've been doing for years is hiding my creativity because I was afraid to do it. I was afraid to have people see what I can do. You know, I do photography. I can't draw worth a crap. You know, I have no artistic talent when it comes to drawing and artistry and stuff. but I can take a really good picture. I can produce videos. I can produce audio. You know, I've got these skills that I want to share with everybody. And that's what, you know, artists and creators do. Don't hide what you can do. If you want to try something, just go out and do it. You know, I've hidden this stuff for long enough. And that's, you know, but like I said, with the career that I've had, I had to keep this separate. And I had to keep it, well, let's say rated G. And, you know, not too off the wall. Which, you know, sometimes my humor and stuff is really off the wall, really crazy, what have you. So I think with the way things are now, you know, Doc still exists. Doc, Sludge, and Sludge Industries, and Deviant Legion are how I'm going to express my creativity, and I'm just going to let it go. I'm just going to let the creativity flow and I'll just see what happens. I think that's the best thing to do.
Good. Yeah. That is the best thing to do. Like you said, don't hold back. If somebody doesn't like it, well, that's their problem.
Right. And that's me in a nutshell.
Well, I do want to thank you for taking the time to do this. It's been fun and fascinating and informative, and I certainly hope that your story inspires people to get out and do and unleash their creativity and not give a damn what anyone else thinks of it.
Right, and just be yourself. You know, find who you are, be yourself, and be creative. That's the big message of this whole thing.
Oh, and if there are any black metal musicians out there who happen to hear what I said, I was trying to be funny about
yeah.
them not having feelings. I was trying to be funny.
Yeah, and...
And failing miserably.
I still regret what I said because I'll be honest with you, I don't like upsetting people. You know, because I was a jerk. I admit, I was a jerk with that review, and I would prefer to be more professional in the future. So, okay. So, I think that's it. So, would you mind if I interviewed you next weekend?
Sure, but my story isn't as near as interesting as yours, but if you want to, have a crack at it.
All right. So everybody who listens to Sludge Industries and the Sludge Pit will definitely get to know your hosts pretty well. So feel free to call. We're actually going to start closing the show down here because I have to get up really early for work tomorrow morning. Actually, not as early as I used to. 4:45 really was just, thankfully, I'm staying 10 minutes away from where I work. All right. So good night, everybody. We appreciate it. And thank you so much for letting me just go off on tangents like that.
Well, thank you for letting me interview you. I enjoyed it, and I learned a lot.
Well, you're very welcome. And remember, kids and adults, be creative, and don't let anybody tell you what you can and can't do when it comes to being artistic or creative. All right, that's all. Okay, good night, everybody.
Good night.